On a Sunday morning in December, we come together to read the Christmas story. And maybe we would think which one, and certainly as we go through the scriptures, we read those Christmas stories, the birth of Jesus with his mother Mary and Joseph, to whom she was pledged to be married. She was a virgin. And what a sign it was that she that which was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. She gives birth, and there is that rejoicing, and we know something of that wonderful Christmas story as Matthew relates to us, and we have unfolded before us this wondrous story. Then the Magi, that amazing story of how these come from the east to present their gifts and worship this one who is the King of the Jews. All these stories that Matthew relates to us are amazing, and we enjoy reading them and pondering them. And then we come to Dr. Luke's account. And there, the stories of Christmas unfolded from the Old Testament background are also such amazing moments in the history of God's redemption and his love. John the Baptist, his coming, his birth, and there we have the story of Mary again given to us in Mary's song, the Magnificat. There before us are those great moments that are beautiful. How could we forget the story of the shepherds? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. You know the story. Beautiful, majestic, wondrous night of nights. The sheep safely graze. There is a beauty to all of that. But as we turn in God's Word to John's revelation of Jesus Christ, we have another story. I ask you, have you ever heard the story of the Christmas dragon? The Christmas story of the enormous red dragon of Christmas. Turn with me to the revelation of Jesus Christ. In that book of the revelation of Jesus Christ is the story of the enormous red dragon of Christmas. He never ever wanted Christmas to come. And when Christmas did come, the first Christmas, he became even more evil and devouring. There was an intensity to his hatred. Why did this enormous red dragon hate Christmas so much? And I believe we need to remember that on Christmas, that first Christmas was the day that the great dragon slayer was born. And dragons, and especially the enormous red dragon, hates dragon slayers. So as we have this Christmas story given to us, we have this in Revelation chapter 12 in its first part. And we need to realize again, just to refresh your mind, that as you read the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's a certain kind of literature. We call it apocalyptic literature. It has tremendous amount of symbols. We are not to somehow or another take the dragon as some kind of literal creature that's out there, and that's what we really have. But the whole of this book gives us symbols of how these creatures and these characters act out their roles. Here we have something like that, for instance, in the book of Ezekiel. We're not to somehow or another think we've got pictures that are being described here or portraits, but rather, if we are to understand these characters and to identify them in the story rightfully, we're not to think of snapshots of each one of them, but rather the symbolism that's here of how they're characters are and how they act out these things. Let me just mention, I think it's good for us as we stop and look at the Christmas story in the revelation of Jesus Christ, as told by John, here in a special way, a couple of books on the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book, The Lamb is All the Glory, is a book that the ladies' Bible study, I believe, went through some time back, and a very good story, or a very good commentary on this great Christmas story. And then another volume, Let's Study Revelation, published by the Banner of Truth, Derek Thomas, good Welsh name there, a good volume for you to go through. And then one, we don't, I think, have any copies of this in the book room, but if you're interested, see Mike Williams or someone. It's called Reverse Thunder, a good volume explaining the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then another brief commentary by Jeffrey B. Wilson. Good for us to study and know all of God's Word. And it is a great encouragement to us. Who are these characters that are described in this Christmas story? This enormous red dragon. No extra points if you guess right away. Who is the woman that is given to us here? Who is the child? This that is before us, I would ask you to listen to the first words of the chapter. Here we read, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. Hopefully, no one here is trying to take all of this literally. I'm not sure any brain could take all that in a literal sense. But here is the Christmas story. The enormous red dragon, Satan, is identified all through scriptures as that old serpent. Or verse 9 of chapter 12, he is that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. Now, again, this isn't a picture or a snapshot of what he looks like. It does give us how he acts, how he is as a dragon to devour, how he is there as the one horrid monster with 10 horns, and his power was great. And yes, the 7 heads, it's almost like you chop off one and he still keeps coming. He is with great power and can sweep a third of the stars of heaven with just the sweep of his tail. All of this would be utterly ridiculous if we took it in some literal fashion. Here, symbolically, we see the enormous red dragon's power and his hatred. Then, the woman. Now, certainly, all of us come, as we read through this, we think of Mary to give birth to her child. But I believe we really have something more here, that the woman does represent the whole community, the people of God. In her crown, there are those 12 stars, and we think of the 12 tribes of Israel. We think of the 12 apostles upon which the church is built. We think of that new covenant people. There she has her offspring, that are persecuted and hated. In verse 17 of the chapter, there is that sense given there. The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Then the child, of course, we identify as the one that will rule the nations. The child is to be born. Yes, and he is that promised Messiah that all the promises of God have been telling us about, the Christ of Christmas. Now, the rest of the story. We start with this enormous red dragon making war against the child. He is enraged, ready to devour that child. As soon as that child is born, he wants to devour. Even as we would read back in the history, he is that one who sought to destroy that child even before birth, in that he would stop that line through whom the child was to come. The woman longs for this coming that would be the final dragon slayer. Now, as we look at this passage, we go all the way back to the fall of man and we read how God speaks to the old serpent and says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." There has been war ever since. God's people longing to give birth to the seed, the offspring of the woman and the dragon, hungry to devour the promised son who was to come. All through history, you see the enormous red dragon pursuing, trying to destroy, trying to stop the coming of that final wonderful Savior. Now, as we go through Scripture, certainly we see these promises fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, His coming. He comes, and the child is born. Christmas is a reality. The angel Gabriel told a young woman named Mary that she would give birth to the long promised child. And what is there? Yes, we read of joy, joy, joy. Good news. The child is born. But for that enormous red dragon, there's war and fury. You remember who was that king's name? What is his name? That one who sent, yes, not good news, but as he heard of a child that was to be born, that was to be the king of the Jews, some have called him Herod the Great. He was a great butcher of Bethlehem. We think of those moments so peaceful and joyful, and yet for those families, those parents whose baby boys were slaughtered by the butcher of Bethlehem, Herod the Great, they were moments of war, of turmoil, of pain. We remember, though, that God warned the parents of the Lord Christ, and they fled to Egypt. But the war goes on. All the way through His ministry, whether it was Satan tempting Him in the wilderness, in His weakest moments, constantly people trying to kill Him, He escapes the fury of the dragon. Satan knew that if Jesus dies on the cross, his doom was sure. He prompts a disciple of Jesus to urge him not to go to the cross. Satan does that kind of working. And when Jesus tells his friends he is going to Jerusalem to die, you remember it's Peter who protests and says, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen." And it's almost as if Jesus smells the breath of the dragon. And his response is, "Get behind me, Satan." There is a warfare, a fury that's going on the part of this evil one, Satan, against the child. And in that very hour that he's at his weakest time, the child, though, overcomes Satan. When he's tempted, he overcomes him. When he is attacked, even when he is in that time on the cross, he overcomes the dragon. He arose from the dead. He ascended to his Father in heaven, and Satan's doom is sure. Verse 5 of chapter 12, there, those words remind us of that certainty. Even when the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her son the moment he was born, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. There is one who, yes, died on the cross, and Satan is doomed. He ascended to his Father's right hand, and there is certainty in the doom of Satan. Read with me verses 7 through 9. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him." The enormous red dragon is defeated. Jesus proved that even at his weakest moment, he overcomes him. He's brought down. The enormous red dragon is defeated. Notice, though, the enormous red dragon makes war against God's people, the church. Verses 10 and 11, we read, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." There is this constant, ongoing persecution, and yet there is victory. Why? Not what Satan does, but what Jesus has done on our behalf assures us of that victory. Accusations come from Satan, the old serpent, but there is, yes, overcoming of him through the work of Jesus Christ. This is the really big Christmas story. We overcome because of what Christ has done. Whatever happens to the church, we will overcome. Whatever his strategies may be, we overcome in Christ. But look with me now at this element in a very personal way for your life this morning. The enormous red dragon makes war against you. And as we look at this reality, you might say, all of this sounds great, but it's nice to talk about Christmas as a victory. And it's kind of nice to remember hot chocolate and what is it, chestnuts roasting over an open fire or something like that, and all sounds cheery and nice. But there is in my life real pain, difficulty. Satan is very active, and there are things that are what I would call his fury against me. So that it's not just a nice story, but there is sin and sadness that's still going on in all of our lives. Isn't that right? There are battles that are being fought. Satan is defeated, but he is still active. Fury is spoken of here. Verse 12, there is a fury that is going on. Now, quite often, when I have heard sermons or read of this defeated one, and that he, though overcome and doomed, and though we read of how the Lord by His crucifixion has assured victory, and yet He is still very active, there is the story of World War II that helps us, I believe, understand, often given that the enormous red dragon, even in our days, is very active. The Normandy invasion on D-Day meant that Hitler's doom was certain. It wasn't that somehow or another, after that though, that Hitler changed his heart and thought, since I'm losing, I'm going to be a little nicer to everybody. It wasn't that he changed tactics and backed off and kind of took it easy until the end came. You know the story. It was after that that some of the bloodiest battles were fought. It was after that that he went into the death camps and murdered and put to death the more people than even before. The horror of those last days was terrible. There was a fury. Hitler didn't give up, but rather, as one writer records, time between D-Day and final victory was the most terrible time of the whole war. Not because Hitler was winning, but because he was doomed. And that's the reality that we live in. Yes, the enormous red dragon is doomed, but it's like his fury is horrible in our day. He's tied up by one stronger than he is. And yet, he has a hatred and a fury against God's people. So I say to you this morning, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you seek to obey His commandments, be ready for the fury of the enormous red dragon. He comes and he tempts. And he seeks to destroy. He has lost it all, but he still wars against those who are joined with the child of Christmas, the one who is the King. There is that sense of joy, 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 always rejoicing for us, because his doom is sure, and yet there still is a real battle. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't follow the child, the Lord Jesus Christ, at all. If that is true, you too are doomed. You're on the losing team. Turn away from that enormous red dragon and his whole way and turn to one who is the final dragon slayer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to rejoice with us this day that there is one who, yes, is victorious, the great dragon slayer. The Apostle Paul in Romans, at the end of his letter to the Romans, he has these wondrous words that almost seemed that he wrote in passing at the end, but he there gives us this glimpse of his understanding of all things when he says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." We're involved in this whole battle. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great dragon slayer, but we too are involved, and even now we can celebrate the victory. We can enjoy what He is doing. We're in this with Him. We too overcome by His powerful Word. Let us celebrate in Christ. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank You that there is that power which is beyond all the power of the enormous red dragon. We are powerless against him, but in our Lord Jesus Christ, we overcome. He will be crushed even under our feet as we reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. O Lord, we do pray for those who are here during this very hour, Lord, that You would open their hearts to say, O Lord, yes, I want to follow You and love You. Take my heart, O Lord. Take my heart of sin and full of myself and fill it, O Lord, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Write upon me, O Lord, Your commandments, that I would follow You and love You and serve You. O God, we do pray for all who are here this day, that all would know the wonder and joy of being in Christ. We thank You for this big Christmas story and the victory we have in the child that was born, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.